If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, A Quickness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
And welcome to If Lands Could Kill. My name is Knife City Alchemist.
I'm A Quickness. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm Hot Sauce. Yes. Filling in for A Quickness.
The hottest of the sauces.
I'm okay.
You're saucy. Saucy.
Yeah, you're a warm, right. Room temperature sauce.
I'm a little hotter than that. I'm a little hotter than that. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not. And
we got, this is Reich.
That's it.
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, and
two podcasts in a row. Quickness not here, unfortunately.
Sands, A Quickness.
A little tummy ache. Yeah. A little breathing fire out of his butt.
Oh, yeah.
A little bubble poisoning.
A little bubble poisoning. Never got anyone anywhere. But, yeah. We are here slugging through it.
So, what's up?
Three man.
We are here to stay.
What?
Hooray.
What?
I just want to let everyone know it's kind of early.
I was trying to think of like some like, you know, like feminist chant, you know.
Oh, like what you mean, like a cheerleader chant?
No, not like a cheerleader.
Oh, you mean like a protest chant?
Yeah, like a protest.
Okay,
chant.
Okay.
But gotcha. Nothing.
No,
I haven't had enough
dude,
rock star.
This is going to be a good episode because I'm hungover, and hangover episodes are the best episodes.
They are.
So everyone should have really high hopes and stay to the very, very end.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Dick fart pussy cunt. Penis.
So, what the fuck is going on?
What's going on with us?
What's up, guys?
Yeah, the three of us. How's it been? How's life?
The main thing myself and Mike need to talk about is Destiny.
Boom!
Destiny beta.
Destiny the game, right?
Destiny the game.
Not Destiny's Child or something.
Destiny's Child we will talk about after the game.
Yeah.
Because it totally relates.
Yeah.
They're in the game. They're voice actors.
It's going to be the outro music as well.
Don't give it away. So, Destiny came out, or the beta came out from, I guess it came out for like 5 days or something like that.
Yeah, the open beta. They had a closed beta before that.
Right. So, open beta to anyone with like the gold membership or the Sony Online Pass, whatever the fuck it's called. So, I think it started on Wednesday, and it's going until Sunday. Sunday, what, the 28th, I think it was today, 27th?
27th. So it ends.
Yeah, July 27th is okay. Today, and that's when it ends. So it came out on the 360, PS3, PS4, and Xbox One. And each of them, they don't like cross-platform. You will only play with your same
console. So you can't play like Xbox with Xbox One?
No, you can't Microsoft. Do that. Okay. Yeah, exactly. I did hear, though, that not from like the beta on, but when you actually, the official release comes out in September, that if you had it on 360 and you like leveled up to level 40 or whatever the hell, if you do buy an Xbox One, you're allowed to get your person
transferred over
so that you don't have to start fresh again. Like people they recognize that like people are going to be upgrading consoles.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the whatever. But anyways,
so before we get into it, like what is Destiny? Because I mean I've heard a little bit about it, but I haven't like actually like looked into it.
I think Hot Sauce can explain it
so it's
pretty well.
It's a game for sure.
It's a game. It's a first person shooter MMO.
Yes.
And what I think of it is that it's Mass Effect meets Borderlands. So when you're playing Borderlands, it's all about many, many guns. Every gun has a level on it. So, like, sometimes you'll get guns that are at a higher level than you are and you can't use them. And you look at the stats and you're like, oh, shit, I really want that. And so, like, you want to level up to get to that gun. Just like a World of Warcraft or one of those kind of MMO games.
Some item you want to gear up for.
You have items. You have, you know, chest plates and gloves and whatever. You have attributes. You have
cod pieces.
Even when you shoot an enemy. Yeah. You got
level 12 cod piece.
Absolutely. You have when you shoot an enemy, the number of damage like kind of bounces off of them, just like in Borderlands. Uh-huh. If anyone's played that, our audience has played that.
So it's like, that. Like visually like
yeah,
pops
like,
up off of them.
You know, okay. It's kind of cool seeing that, and the number will change color depending on what like sweet spot you hit. If it's like white, if it's a normal spot. If it's yellow, if it's like a sweet spot, like they're, you know, like our boss has that sweet spot.
Yeah,
the head,
I don't know if it's like
whatever.
A crit, but I think it's like if like you said the sweet spot, it like goes yellow and it like can double.
It'll go from like 15 damage to 60. Or something
yeah,
like that.
Mythic sweet spot. I've yet to find.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You just gotta practice, man. You gotta practice. You gotta find someone
gotta
willing.
There. You gotta find the someone. Man in the canoe. Yeah.
Little man in the canoe, dude. I just push that guy all over the place.
Yeah, just find that peanut. You ever notice when you like. When you break a peanut in half, okay, you know, good, there's good. A little bump that looks.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that what you're gonna find that?
Yeah,
you can't just find the peanut, you gotta find the little.
No. I mean, you gotta find the peanut first, and then you gotta try and take the peanut out on a date and a movie and buy it flowers, and then you can finally crack it open, and there's the clitoris.
This is all right.
We sound like idiots right now. My God, I feel bad for the listeners.
So yeah, my description of it would be like Halo meets World of Warcraft because it is a massive multiplayer online game.
Is it one world like, or is it like all instance? Like you get like six people in a map or something like that, or like it's not like you just roam around like in World of Warcraft, like you know.
It's not particularly like a free open world.
Okay.
So there's like there's planets. So on each planet, there's like a couple places you can go. And it says, like, okay, for this place, you might want anywhere between one and three people in your group.
Okay.
Or you can just solo it, you know, which I think we were able to solo everything except for, like, the last mission on a planet.
Which you just can't solo. It won't happen with the guns you have and everything like that. It's impossible. It'll take you, if you can even do it, it'll take you like 2.5 hours.
So it's like, is it like a mission based? Like, you get like a mission on this planet and it suggests like, oh, yes. this mission's good for like three people if you want to do
it. Planet or territory, like you can go to the same territory and have multiple missions on that thing. Like, you only have one unlocked for now because of your level and whatever else. But down the line, I believe you're going to go to the same place and it's kind of, instead of going west, you're going to go east and then you're going to do another mission over there. Doors will unlock or whatever the hell's going to happen.
But something like, say if I'm like level 40 or whatever, and like I want to go back and like solo these missions,
totally you can totally do want.
That. Yeah.
And then each mission has a difficulty setting that you choose before you land on the planet or whatever. So you're able to, I'm doing everything on normal, but you're
you
able to
you can choose the difficulty?
It. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's on normal, you can change it on hard, and it has like recommendations and all that stuff, and I'm sure like enemies are harder, experience goes up faster, like they, this game is super flexible and robust, for sure. There is... Just like Borderlands has the same kind of thing where you go into your main town, like Sanctuary was in Borderlands, or Mass Effect had like either the Citadel or your ship. It's kind of like your safe hub.
Your base or whatever.
It's no combat. It's just like where you buy stuff and you upgrade and you do whatever.
Yeah.
It has that, which is, what is that called?
The Tower?
The Tower. It's like a like kind of like a moon base looking thing. And you can go on that and then you can upgrade all your stuff. And then you can find missions there, possibly. You can find like bounties there. You can like... Just explore the side mission type stuff while being there, but otherwise the story is linear. You can choose the story, or you can choose like 6v6 multiplayer, or you can choose side missions like the bounties.
Yeah, the
or
bounties you can just explore,
or whatever.
Bounties are almost like I want to say like achievement style things, but you go turn them in and get experience. So it's like you have to melee 30 people without dying.
Oh, okay.
And then
so like the little like milestone type quest thing.
Yeah, I think they're repeatable though, right?
I don't know that. I've seen them. I have not played one.
Okay, I turned a couple in, and I think they're repeatable.
Oh, cool.
But so on the first planet, Earth was the first one, obviously, and so there were six little like.
Territories, basically.
Yeah, territories. And so you can solo 1 through 5, but then there was, like, the last one you unlock. You know, you're supposed to be, like, level 6 or whatever. But it was so fucking hard. So the groups are, like, 3 people max, at least for now. Like, for what we see right now. You can only have 3 people, including yourself. And so... On the last one, you need 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
And
the boss is a bullet sponge.
It felt like an instance, like in World of Warcraft, or a flashpoint in Star Wars The Old Republic.
Uh-huh.
Like whatever you can correlate it to.
Yeah.
Because it took... Just the boss fight alone felt like it took what'd you say, 20, 30 minutes?
I'd say at least 30 minutes.
So it's a good little good commitment to get in there and do it.
Yeah, yeah. It takes you 15 minutes to get to the boss, because you have to like walk through a bunch of rooms and all this stuff and do like little piddly stuff, and then you get to the boss.
Yeah, there's like mini-bosses and stuff.
There's like mini-bosses throughout, but then you get to the big boss, that's about a half hour with three people.
So if you die, like if you say if your group is wiped, do you have to start the whole thing over again? Or is there like little checkpoints or something like that?
Once you get to a certain zone, it'll tell you this is a no-respawn point.
Okay.
So like in the beginning, when you just arrive on the planet, if you die, you just hit X and you respawn. No big deal. You don't get to like get your ammo back. Like whatever you used is gone forever, just like Bioshock or one of those games, like the Vita Chambers. Like you lose your ammo, but you're still like alive, whatever. So you get to do that while you're like finding the mission, while you're going in that direction. Once you get like in down the corridor where like this is the no point of no return.
Like once you enter the instance.
Okay, yeah, then it's like
exactly. Then it'll say on screen this is a no respawn point, whatever, from this point on. If you die, you'll turn into a little orb. And then one of your buddies can come over and hold X, and then you'll respawn. Or if everyone just stays alive for like 30 seconds, you can actually just like sit there and you'll respawn on your own after 30 seconds. Uh-huh. But in times like that where they can't get to you, you're probably going to like...
Everyone's going to die.
They're going to die anyways. Yeah. Like, you know, they're either going to get you because it's like the map is clear and they can just get you. If they're in like this firefight where like they just can't fucking get to you and you have 30 seconds, like you probably won't even make it to 30 seconds. You're probably just going to die. You know what I mean? I'm sure everyone's just going to die, so...
Okay. That's kind of cool. And this game is made by Bungie, right?
Made by Bungie.
Yeah. Same who did Halo.
Who made Halos 1 through 3 and Reach, and that's it. ODST and Halo 4 was 343 Industries.
Yeah.
And... the Halo, what is that, over the top-down one, that was, I think, was also made by 343.
Halo Tactics, I don't know what it's called.
Oh,
that was it called?
Halo Wars?
Spartan Assault.
Not Spartan Assault. Halo Wars.
Halo Wars.
I was talking about Spartan Assault 2, another one, yeah. That's the arcade one with the top-down one person. I was thinking more like the Command & Conquer version
from 5 years ago. So does it actually feel like Halo?
No,
like
it combat, feel, to me, no, this is a different opinion about us. I think that it feels more like Titanfall or Call of Duty or one of those.
Right, right.
Like when you hit sprint, the gun comes to your chest, you dut, you know, fast step, and then once you stop, the gun pops back out, and it feels like quick and like smooth and 60 frames a second and all that.
Like, you know, with Halo, like, I don't know, after
it's
I play,
sluggish.
Like, it's very sluggish.
Yeah, it's a very unique feel
on purpose,
of Halo.
Yes, on purpose. It's not like they did it shitty, you know, and it just came out sluggish. It's like when you play Call of Duty, everything's like tight, it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, when you're shooting or when you're aiming, and then when you play Halo, it's not like that. So it does not feel like Halo at all. Like Hot Sauce was saying, it feels like very tight and like, you know, my only correlation.
That's good.
The environments, though, like when you look at the sky and you look at the mountains, it feels like a Halo campaign to me.
Yes, it does.
It does.
But like the art style is like really Halo-esque.
Where Mass Effect is like similar, but it's like it's usually the skies are darker.
Yeah,
they look more like looking into space. This one still has like bright skies and a lot of clouds and like it just has a feel like Halo a lot of times. So
that's cool.
They all can. I think they all throw a little piece in there, but here's the main reason we're even talking about this, is that it gets all those and makes this gigantic universe with all these different things you can do, getting the elements of all these games that we've loved and puts them all together and makes this one massive game. And it seems like where these other games that we've been playing, like the Mass Effect and all that stuff, seem like they have pieces of the pie. This one is the pie, and for the first time, I feel like this is the first game that is the pie. You know, everything that all video games put into one, I think this is the closest thing to it.
Yeah, it feels like they just nailed it. Like,
the multiplayer is solid. It's beautiful.
I finally just started getting good in the multiplayer. Yeah. I was using, like, the scout gun, and, like, so that's just a single shot.
It's like a DMR in Halo, if you think about it.
And it's not meant for multiplayer. No. Like, I was just getting blown up, so... Mm. But it's cool. There's like, so you can have like armor.
Are there other classes like a melee class or?
There's three classes.
Do they have like the Holy Trinity? Like I'm a tank and I'm a healer and like
there's the
I'm
like
the damage guy.
There's the soldier guy.
There's the soldier and he's like, you know, has a lot of armor and he's just a big dumb guy who kind of swings a sword. And then there's the hunter, which is a little bit more like long range, you know, like sniper and melee.
And like probably stealth, probably in that too.
Yeah, stealth and melee. And then there's the warlock, which I don't really know.
The warlock is he? It's like more like the magic monk,
like an AOE type of
I don't know what's AOE. I don't even know.
Area of effect.
Oh, okay.
I think they specialize in grenades and stuff like that.
Right, grenades and like
explosives, like just the, all the a, doing damage to multiple targets. Yes. And like spells and shit.
Exactly. Cool. Exactly. So that's it. I mean, that's pretty. Shut up. That's probably the what Destiny is. I mean, it was like a good fucking 20 minutes we just talked about.
I haven't played it yet, so I mean, I'm kind of like, once it comes out, I'm gonna have to check it out.
I think the world has high expectations for the game, and I feel like just with this beta that we played, that it's definitely gonna meet those things. There may be like some people may have a problem with things here and there, but I think that it's amazing. Here's another thing, real quick, that for your significant other or someone that maybe is not, I don't know what this game is, I'm not really a big video gamer, Peter Dinklage is the main narrator. The little Dinklage from Game of Thrones.
He's the middle.
But that's what I'm saying is that like Kelly,
dwarf midget guy.
Kelly, okay. my chick. She doesn't care about video games necessarily. She cares about like Nintendo and stuff like that. But she don't care about this. She was actually like watching me play, and just the thing that pushed her over the limit was just that Peter Dinklage just talking the whole time.
Yeah,
and she was like, "Oh, that's interesting." And then she's like looking up other cast members and all this stuff. So it was kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
So, anyways. So that's what we do with me and
That's cool. Knife. I'm gonna have to check it out. Well, so that means I have to buy an Xbox One, right? Is that what that means?
No, you can do 360.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, we can't play with Night City.
Then it's just gonna be you two because I'm not getting an Xbox.
You're not gonna get an Xbox One.
So you got to pick who's your best friend.
Oh shit! Put me on the spot,
dude. He's already your best man. Let me be the video game buddy.
The video game guy.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you lose Raheem too.
I lose Raheem too.
Yeah.
Fuck Raheem.
Yeah.
No.
Fuck you, motherfucker!
Anyways, yeah, I've been busy too, just finalizing all of our wedding stuff, which has been just taking up all my time. But I've been really mad at the new Magic Online client, the beta client, because ever since they updated, they went to mandatory, where you, I think it was July 17th or something like that, they switched over from the old client to the new beta client, which is not the beta client anymore, it's actual
V4.
It's the version 4 or whatever it is. And when they made that switch and they did the update for the newest M15, for some reason it fucked up my shit on my computer where I couldn't log in anymore.
Like, goddamn wizards.
You can't log in?
So I couldn't log in. Like, I had this problem back when I first downloaded Magic for some reason. Like, you literally need like an IT degree to be able to troubleshoot their client and actually get it to run. I mean, last night I spent probably 3 hours trying just to be able to log into the Magic client.
So wow. You like installed and uninstalled.
Yeah, I did everything. I was like looking on the forums and everything, and it ended up coming down to an issue with, you know how like Microsoft has their security certificates that like are kind of like a little like keys or whatever that you need to be able to like, you know, validate like, oh, this website's good or oh, this service is okay.
Right.
And it ended up coming down to something like that where it, for whatever reason, on my computer at one point it was fine. All the certificates were fine. And then for some reason, once they did that update, Magic was not using the correct certificates or something
fucking
like that.
Bastards.
So I literally had to go on my wife's laptop, install Magic Online on that, make sure it ran, and then export all the certificates off that machine, and then import them onto my machine, which allowed me to actually log in and let, like, you know, the server or whatever talk to my game. It was just a fucking
headache. Operating system are you running?
Windows 7, 64-bit. So, I mean that's
what everyone
and they're both running it. And for whatever reason, for my machine, I mean, it just fucking did not want to work, and it was just driving me insane because I just wanted to get online and just, like, you know, I wanted to do a pre-release. I was going to do the pre-release.
Oh, did you miss it?
No, you can do it again.
Okay.
They give you...
I think until today, that was the last day.
Or maybe. I thought they just gave it to you in your account.
Yeah, but, I mean, the pre-release events are over.
Are they over
after a certain amount of time?
Because I was looking at it allowed you to do... they give you... So, essentially, on Magic Online, if you had an account since, like, 2010 or something like that, they gave everyone that had a Magic Online account, since they switched over to the new client, I think they give you, like, 35 Phantom Points, which are good for, like, the newbie stuff or, like, certain, like...
Or Cube.
Cube events. They pretty much just, like, they're, like, event tickets almost, but you can only use it for certain events. And they gave everyone one... color pre-release of each of the colors, so you get a black, white, green, blue, red ticket, pre-release ticket,
mm-hmm.
and you get 35 Phantom Points, which allow you to join into one of the release queues for free, essentially.
Right.
And that allows you to play for the M15. Like, it's an M15 draft.
And you can win booster packs.
Yeah, you can win
booster packs. You can't keep your cards. You can just win packs, right?
No, I think you...
No, it's
like a legit, like, draft.
So I don't know why they give you Phantom Points, but it's not a Phantom event. So it's a sealed event. You get to keep your cards, and you get to win... whatever packs.
Yeah. So you get to keep everything. I think they give you Phantom Points.
That's
just,
cool.
Just so you don't, they don't give you tickets where you can use it to like buy stuff.
Yeah, right. I'd be like, oh, just tickets. There
you're, we go. You're pretty much, you have to do this. Like,
okay.
Or like a cube, or so you can save it for a cube. But anyways, so that's the whole reason I wanted to do that, because I hadn't logged into Moto for like maybe a month or two, because I've been playing on Cockatrice a lot. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to do this because I'm like, I have some free time tonight. You know, I don't have to do anything. I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, knock out a draft real quick or whatever, and then 3 hours later, I'm fucking smashing my head on the keyboard trying to figure this shit out.
Hey, maybe your computer is so powerful and so good,
yeah, it's like,
it recognizes this shitty software, and it's like, no, that we don't allow this. Like, you need to find another program, sir. We don't allow this on our great machine.
Exactly.
You
know? So first of all, like, I'm already pissed off that like I have to use the beta client or the new V4. Like, I mean, it's okay. I mean, I'm more used to the older one because that's what I see all the
time.
It's
aesthetically, right? Just like when you get a new like PowerPoint, you're like, oh, why'd they have to move like this button over here or hide this in this menu drop down?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm already pissed off about that. Like, I'm already annoyed about that. And then I go to like start it, and it's like, oh, you can't log in. Like, I can't do anything. And like, I'm just like mad that now I have to take time out of my day to be able to like try to figure this out. Because I mean, I'm the kind of person where it's like, I know I can fix it, and I know there's a way to fix it, and I'm gonna figure out that way. You know how long it's gonna take me, and I don't want to do anything else. Like, I could have just been like, oh fuck, I'm gonna go play some other game or something. Like, go play like
Destiny.
Yeah, Destiny or some other game. But I was like, you know, I'm going to sit down and just kind of fucking rack my brain, and I'm going to figure this shit out just so I can just log in and see that, okay, I got the packs, and I'm not going to have time to play. But yeah, I spent like 3 hours on that last night, and I finally got it to work, thankfully. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna do draft. And it was at like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, no, you know what? It's going to take too long. I'm just going to go to bed. I'm like, fuck it. I'm already mad enough. But anyways, that was my whole big ordeal last night with Magic Online. So I almost was like, at that point, if I couldn't get to work, I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm just not going to play Magic Online anymore. I'm just going to, you know what? I don't have that much stuff on there. I'm just going to, fuck it, just all paper.
That sounds like a big pain in the ass. Like, unfortunately.
And you've had some pains in your ass before.
Oh, I've had a lot of pains in my ass.
He is like an expert in pains in the ass.
Oh, man.
So Marshall Sutcliffe, the guy who does Pro Tour coverage, and he's also like one of the hosts of Limited Resources podcast, he started a new podcast called The One for One.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's like an interview style podcast, and he interviewed one of his previous co-hosts of Limited Resources, John Laux, I think his name is.
Sounds right.
So
Robert Loggia?
Robert Loggia. John Laux quit Limited Resources and like quit his job because he got a job at Wizards. And, you know, like dream job or
so
whatever.
That was the guy that was currently doing with Sutcliffe, right?
Yeah, that was the...
The Asian guy?
No, that's Brian Wong.
Okay, Brian Wong, okay. He's still there, right?
Yeah.
Because they do that together, right?
Yeah.
The other guy was in Limited Resources.
Yeah. So Brian Wong is the current co-host. Okay. But this guy was before him. So he went to go work at Wizards, and apparently he just left after like 15 months. And everyone was like, you know, he's kind of, you know, well-known in the community. So it was like, you know, what's up? What was going on? And so he wrote an article about, you know, all the things that had happened.
Uh-huh.
And he also went on this interview podcast. And it kind of shed some light on Magic Online and, like, how... what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so it really, like... I listened to it last night.
Do we want to know? Do we even want to know?
Yeah, well, so...
Is it like a look into like how the development, like what's going on behind the scenes? Like, like, and behind the scenes look?
So on one hand, it's like, oh, I kind of have a little bit more empathy for Magic Online.
No,
because
no, hate them all.
Because, you know, because they are trying, and, you know, we're just shitty nerds who are like, we want it like this now.
I'm a part of the now generation.
But then on the other hand, you know, you see like, oh, well, maybe if you just change some simple things like how your departments communicate, like things would go a lot smoother and Magic Online would get better faster, you know, stronger. So
better, faster, stronger.
So it's definitely like worth listening to because myself not knowing anything about programming or game design, game development.
Yeah.
I mean, I still play Magic Online. My biggest problem is just getting kicked from drafts while I'm drafting. That's like my biggest thing. I've never had really much other problems with it.
Kind of a big thing, though.
It's kind of a big thing.
Real money involved, that's kind of a big thing.
Well, Wizards is good about reimbursing you.
That's the one thing they're really good about is reimbursements.
Yeah, they've never.
They know.
They have to be because the client's so bad.
Absolutely.
They've never told me.
Half their staff.
They've never told me no when I filed for a reimbursement. Anyways, it was a really good lesson. So I'm not much for an interview podcast, but that was a pretty good one. I definitely implore you to listen to it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm down with that. I'm like, I understand, like, it's got to be hard to program that. Especially, I mean, like, I'm sure they've had, like, so much, like, turnover and stuff where, like, people come in and they had no idea what it was. You know, like, you're coming into a project and it's all just, like, probably just, like, just fucking just code everywhere. It's like, you don't probably know how to make heads or tails. It's like a lot of, like, transition, like, trying to figure out what's going on. But, I mean, there's a lot of different interactions that happen on Magic. If you think about it, like... If you think about, like, all the mechanics that work and all the things that have to, like, work together and everything like that, and, like, all the different cards that have certain, like, properties and stuff like that, it's got to be crazy. But, I mean, it seems, like, so, like, a hodgepodge of just, like, I don't know, like, incompetence or something going on. But I don't know. I've never seen behind the scenes or how it works.
So. I can understand that whatever algorithms and all the nonsense they do to make that program work perfectly, not as far as like shit failing, but as far as like card interaction, that's got to be a major dick hair. It's got to be super hard to have, you know, 3,000 cards in the client or whatever, and make sure that every mechanic and everything works perfectly in the right order. It's just crazy. You know what I mean?
The one thing that really stuck out to me that he said was that, like, with other games that aren't so Magic Online is tied to paper Magic.
Yeah.
Like, it can't deviate at all because it's an online representation of a physical game. but, like, with other games like Hearthstone, you know, if they ran into a problem during creation or programming or whatever, and they're like, man, you know, if we want to do this one thing, it's going to take, like, a lot of manpower and programming to do this. But if we just tweaked it and did it this way, that would save us like all this time and money. And they're like, okay, fuck it, let's not do it the way we designed it, let's just tweak it and do it this way. Yeah, so there's like that really open space, you know. They're not confined to the restraints of a previous game
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so with Magic Online, they can't do that, where they're like, you know what, this convoke mechanic is just really, I mean, just to make it work with all these other cards, it's just gonna be so much work. Can we just do it to where blah 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 blah? Oh yeah, they'll say it was like, you know, 200 man hours. Like, okay, sweet. You know, they can't do that, and they have to keep on a pace with the cards coming out.
Well, yeah, that, like a new set coming out like every, you know, however long. That's gotta be, that has to devote a lot of time to be able to, you know, do all that. But I mean, yeah, I understand that much, but it's still just a fucking pain in the ass for the end user. Like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, it. So what it did was it made me understand and be a little bit more, you know, not lenient, but it just made me understand more.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, fucking hire some more fucking people, you know? Like,
they gotta be making money.
Well, Magic Online,
it's a market they made up. They gotta be making some money, right?
Apparently, you know, Magic Online, like, isn't making a shitload of money, like, as opposed to other games, because of just the constant, like, work that has to be done on it, you know?
I guess, okay, you know what? Actually, the secondary market, just like a GameStop type scenario, it's not going to the publisher, it's not going to that. It's going to the game stores, and it's going to just the people in general, you know? Like, that secondary market, selling cards and all that stuff and trading.
Yeah, like Wizards doesn't see any of that money.
Yeah, I mean, Wizards, I guess, doesn't really see a whole lot of that. No, but still, like, a booster pack for some fucking cardboard that you just made up, you know, I mean, that's the revenue. I know that there's a lot of research and development, but that's all it really is. You know what I mean? That's the biggest chunk of the pie. Just printing out cards and putting them in sealed packages and sending them out somewhere for $4. Like, how are you not making a huge profit off that?
Yeah.
I know you got to have high volume, and to make the set, like, sellable and great for everybody, it takes a lot of man hours, but you're selling a product that has the revenue, like, damn AA batteries. You know what I mean? $4 for something that's worth 15 cents.
Yeah. Well, the whole point was that everyone who plays Magic Online, or just Magic in general, should give it a listen. It's good to know this stuff.
After this, I'm about to go. I'm going to listen to that.
I'm going to listen to this podcast, and then I'll get all the information I need.
Yeah, exactly.
Just re-listen to what I just said, mm-hmm. and it'll be fantastic.
Anyway, yeah. Moto rant over. But yes. You know what really grinds my gears?
What?
Tell us.
Rice in my burrito.
Oh, dude.
Rice in your burrito,
and beans.
Dude.
I don't like beans either.
No, get all that crap out of my burrito.
Just meat, cheese.
Meat and tortilla, please.
Unless it's a bean burrito, I do not want beans in my burrito.
All right, but anyways.
Damn you, Chipotle.
But yeah, I mean, I am pretty stoked about this weekend because it is Comic-Con weekend, and we have a lot of cool information coming out of Comic-Con from Wizards.
I really wish we could have gone to Comic-Con.
Oh, me too. I was actually jealous.
We need to, like, plan to go next year because, or just, apparently it's, like, really easy, like... Apparently, it's really easy to, like, fake the badges and just... They're not, like, looking at them, you know, very carefully.
Really?
Wow. Really?
Yeah, oh, man. Don't tell anybody, though.
Okay. But, yeah, no, I wish I could have gone to Comic-Con because I work downtown, and I, like, when I'm, like, walking out lunch or whatever, like, I saw people, like, walking around, like, on Friday with their Comic-Con badges, and, like, some people are dressed up. I'm like, you sons of bitches. Like, I live here, and, like, I couldn't get into fucking Comic-Con.
Kelly got it for free.
I know, I heard. That's fucking crazy. And her sister. But anyways, Comic-Con is, if you don't know, it is the mecca for all nerddom in the United States and probably the world. It's one of the biggest cons related to comics, and now I guess TV series and movies and stuff like that are getting into the pie. And it's hosted here in San Diego, lovely San Diego, at the convention center down here. And it's like once a year, but they always have awesome information coming out for, like, you know, anything that you're interested in the nerd world, from like games to comics to movies.
A lot of announcements, just like E3 for video games.
A lot of hype.
Like that.
A lot of hype. So they it's not like really good information, but it's information that gets you, like, you know, oh, I'm like excited for this now. I'm excited for, you know, Game of Thrones or whatever. But Magic was there and they had a panel, and they actually spoiled, but they announced a lot of things with Khanza Takir. One of the big things that came out of Comic-Con for cons is actually we now know that it is going to be a wedge block.
What is a wedge?
A wedge
of cheese.
Like,
it's delicious.
Yeah, Swiss
good.
Cheese. I don't like Swiss cheese. So it's not Swiss cheese. It's not Swiss cheese.
Well, wedge block is kind of like...
It's Gouda. It's Gouda.
Gouda.
Gouda's muy Gouda.
It's Gouda. Yeah, wedge block is kind of like wedge of Tilly's from Star Wars. But no, wedge is, it's pretty much, you have a main color. So if you think of the colors as a kind of like a color pie where
I'm thinking.
There's five colors, like, in a, you know, you visualize it as like, what, like an octagon or like a, what is it? Five.
I was just thinking of pie. To tell you the truth. I was like,
anyway, so
it's a pie.
You take one of the colors. So like, say the main color is like white.
Pentagon.
Five octagon. Sides.
Well, we can edit that out.
It's well, eight sides. Eight sides. Five
no,
sides.
No, I'm leaving that.
Eight sides. Five sides. Whatever.
The sad thing was, I was like, yeah, octagon. Yeah.
That sounds good. But essentially, it's like it's a pentagon. If you think of all the colors on each of the corners of the pentagon, so you say you take white, which it would be like the top, and you have black and green at the bottom of the pentagon, and so pretty much the main color would be white, and then you have the wedge colors, which is just sprouts out from like that white color to mm-hmm. the other sides of the pentagon, which would be black and green. So essentially,
so those are the enemy colors, right?
Yeah, I think they're considered enemy colors. So
because it's like on the opposite side of the
color wheel or whatever.
The color wheel.
So essentially, so we have five different wedge colors. So the first one is the Abzan, which is cool because they're actually giving the wedges names. I think before they didn't really have official names, and now they actually have official names. So we have Abzan, which is white, black, and green. We have Jeskai, which is blue, red, and white. Then they have Sultai, which is black, green, and blue. Then they have Mardu, which is red, white, and blue. And then they have Timur, which is green, blue, and red. So this is really cool just because, like, I don't think there's been too many wedge blocks where there's been, like, three, like, colors like this. But it's really going to be nice for, like, people that like Commander and stuff like that, because there's going to probably be legendary creatures. Each faction's probably have one legendary creature that has all the three of those colors.
Isn't this like the second or third block that's actually wedge?
I think so. I think at one point they said they weren't going to do another Wedge block for like another like 2-3 years because I think Alara just came out, which was a,
Shards of Alara.
Shards of Alara, which was a Wedge one. They're saying like, oh yeah, we don't want to do another Wedge block anytime soon. But I guess they, you know, they fuck it, and we'll do it again like, you know, 2 years later or whatever it is.
So buy your Caryatids now.
So buy all your color fixing and all your mana rampers and all your Caryatids and all that good stuff now before it comes out, because those are going to probably be like staple four ups.
Oh, yeah. Buy your lands, buy your pain lands, you know what I mean? Yeah. Buy your scry lands.
Get all your good stuff, because the three colors is real.
And mana confluence too.
Yeah, exactly.
Forget about that little guy.
But I'm really excited about that, because I mean, just to have the ability to, you know, have three colored creatures and all this crazy cool stuff, it's going to be awesome. The other cool thing that's coming out this is a commander. We're getting five new commander sets, actual decks that they're pre-built decks. But this one's different from the other ones because this one is actually mono-color commander decks.
So I think that's sweet. I'm fine with that.
So that's actually kind of cool. And the big thing with this is, so far we know that the blue commander deck, the blue mono-color one, actually has a planeswalker as their commander.
It's crazy. And other planeswalkers cannot be commanders.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't just add, like, Vraska as a planeswalker. Yeah.
So this actually has a special planeswalker that has special text on the bottom of it that says this planeswalker can be used as a commander, which has never been done before.
It's crazy.
And it is really cool. And I can't remember the stats on this guy, but it is good. I think blue is probably going to be, like, one of the ones that you're probably going to sell pretty quick.
Yeah, it was, like, I forget what it was, bounce something and something, something.
Yeah, I think that like the plus one is like you get to look at like the top two cards and then you draw one in your hand and then put the other one back
on the bottom of your
library. Bottom of your library. So I'm like, so it's like a mini like brainstorm or what, you know, whatever the card draw is, or the Jace, the scrying.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. I mean, that's awesome.
And then they spoiled the black one, but I'm not sure if it was like the commander
or just one of the. Yeah, it's a legendary creature.
Yeah, because they do. They usually have like two secondary commanders in the pre-constructed decks. But it looks like it's gonna be zombies because it was like pay one black and tap, sacrifice a creature, put X 2/2 zombies, and X is equal to the power of the creature you sacrifice, or some shit like
Pretty
that.
Powerful. Yeah,
yeah, but it's definitely cool. I hope they have like a zombie commander thing. That'd be sweet.
And then you can get a lot of staples.
Yeah, so I can just buy it all in one fell swoop. And
hey, let me squeeze in here. Kelly's actually coming back right now.
Okay.
With my mother, so I don't have to pick her up. So I'm good to go.
Sweet.
I didn't think we would be because I didn't hear back from her at all. I'm like, well, she didn't tell me. I can't just like make plans and just like all of us get started and then I have to leave after the first round.
Yeah.
So now we are good to go. And I'm going to make sure I'm sending her messages asking like, you know, that's cool or whatever. I don't know what we're doing today. And Ian said he has to leave at 4.
Yeah. So it's already 11:30 now.
So maybe we should like kick this into high gear and kind of put another 20 minutes in and then call it good. What do you think?
Let's skip noobs knowledge.
Okay, let's just do our decks then, because that's relevant right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really want to talk about it.
And then real quick on the Wedge block's cool, and also another cool thing coming out is there's going to be 40 promos.
Boom!
So before they would do only one promo for each color.
So for pre-release,
For pre-release. So there's 40 pre-release promos, so this allows you to not... Well, the good thing about it is that since you have... The promo's going to be random within that color. So you're not going to be able just to like say, oh, white, this white pre-release has the best promo out of all the other ones, so I'm just only going to go in the pre-release and pick white. Now it's kind of more like a incentive. It's a random chance to get, like, you may get a bomb promo, or you may not, you know, you may get an okay promo.
So it's definitely up to chance. You can't be like, oh, I want that one white promo. Yeah. It's just, I want white, and then it could be any of these 8 promos, right?
Exactly. And I think they're still doing the seeded packs for the next pre-release.
I think that's like a good...
starter thing.
No, it's a good compromise because a lot of people were bitching about the seeded packs. Like, do away with the seeded packs. It was cool when it was Ravnica, when you could identify with a guild and blah, blah, blah. But now it's just kind of played out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so based off of whatever the power of the promo was. So this kind of is a compromise.
Yeah, I mean, I like it a lot because, like, the M15 previews went to, it's like, there was definitely clear winners of, like, which cards were good. Like, the white one was really good, and the black guy was, like, a bomb. And, like, people were going into those colors, and, like, I think no one even picked blue, like, when we went to, because it was just so bad. And, like, now that'll be gone with. Like, it's you pretty much go with the color that you feel you like the best, and you're going to have a chance to get either the bomb promo or, you know, something that's not as good. But, I mean, it's still a great I really like the way that they're going to do 40 promos.
Yeah, I think that's really gonna help.
But yeah, that's Comic-Con. It was, you know, I wish I could have been there, and we wish we could have went. But we got
it's
a
like
lot
in
of
our
good
own backyard, dude. Like, we need to go next year.
And we'll try to
let's
we'll try
have
to make
a
it.
Podcast adventure pod a cast. Venture to Comic-Con.
You
want to
just stand in the crowd and have a podcast right there?
Yeah, just...
We'll just have our phone right there recording it or something like that. We'll
yeah.
Speak into it and talk to random people, do interviews on the spot.
Yeah.
What the fuck is magic?
I know. What is that? But yeah, that's the major stuff that came out of Comic-Con for magic. But, I mean, it's some good information.
Yeah.
It really got me hyped up for cons.
Word.
So word on the street is that we have... Our mysterious fifth member. Fuck, what's his name?
Oh my god. Pep Sweezy?
No. Pep Sweezy is like our official fifth member. But I mean, Brew, what?
Oh, our Jewish.
Yeah, what the
oh,
fuck?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
what's
yeah.
What's his name?
I don't even remember his name. What's his name?
Brew.
Our Jewish brewmaster.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Come,
the brew.
Yeah, he's coming to give us great fortune and. Give Knife City and myself new decks to play with.
Yeah,
instead of our own decks. We play with our own decks for years now. We're yeah. Like, hey, listen, let's just get some new decks up in here.
We even tried playing with each other's decks, and it just felt weird, so...
Seriously. All the eye contact is the worst part.
Dude, you look over part. There when you play with my deck.
Yeah.
So, me and Hot Sauce have some new decks, so why don't you start us off there, Sauce?
Just like that? All right,
yeah.
Let's do it. So... Magic community. Did you know that there is an infinite combo in Standard? Did you know? Archangel Thune, Fathom Mage, and Horizon Chimera.
Will you explain, cards. Will you explain what those are?
Totally.
Because I have no idea what... I know Archangel, but I really have...
What the hell's
like,
Fathom
no.
Mage?
Yeah, I've never heard of Fathom
card.
Mage before.
Yeah.
Nobody plays. Horizon Chimera, stupid card, nobody plays. So there's a combo between these three cards, which I will go into. Archangel Thune is a 3/4 flying lifelinker angel for 5 mana. Whenever you gain life, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. Sweet. There's another card that interacts with called Fathom Mage. It's an evolved creature, and evolve is like where a creature comes out that has a higher power or toughness. You get to put a counter on this one card, okay? That's a 1/1 for 4 mana. That sounds real stupid, but every time a counter goes on it, you get to draw a card. So every time you gain life, it triggers Archangel, which puts a counter on Fathom Mage, which lets you draw a card. So drawing a card is the final piece of the puzzle. Now we have Horizon Chimera. It's a 4 mana, 3/2, flying, trample, flash, yada yada. But whenever you draw a card, you gain 1 life. When you gain 1 life, you get to trigger Archangel of Thune again, which gets to put a counter on Fathom Mage, which makes you draw a card, which makes you gain life, which is just this whole circle. So what happens is...
The circle of life.
The circle Sorry. Of life. So you get to put... If you have all three of these creatures on the battlefield at the same time, if you gain life in any circumstance, if you draw a card on your upkeep, if you evolve the Fathom Mage, if any of these things trigger, you get to do an infinite combo. Infinite in a sense because you only have so many cards in your deck.
Yeah, it's not truly infinite.
It's not truly infinite, but you get to do it as many times as you want. In this case, you're only going to do it as many times as to pump up your creatures to swing in for game. So you have this 3/4 flyer that's out. You bring in some creature that makes the Fathom Mage evolve. You get to pump up all your creatures into, they'll say, 15/15s or whatever. You get to draw 15 cards, put 15 1/1 counters on all your creatures in that turn. Hopefully that's enough to go ahead and swing for game. So that is the combo. There are other combos in Modern and stuff like that where it's very similar, but it does like...
Two damage
for infinite. Yeah, it's also faster. It does 2 damage for infinite, or it makes you gain infinite life, or whatever else. That's just fine, but that's modern, and it's expensive, and yeah, people already know about it. It's a common thing. This is something that I've never seen in FNM, so I built a deck around these three cards, playing like 4 of each to hopefully get there. They're 2 4-mana creatures and 1 5-mana creature, so it's kind of hard to get there. So what I'm doing is playing... I have to play all three colors, which is just the blue, green, and white. I'm playing the ramp creatures. I'm playing the Elfish Mystics. Three of those. Three Sylvan Caryatids. And three Courser of Kruphix. Those ramp in to get me to the combo faster. But also, Courser of Kruphix is able to gain one life off of playing a land, mm-hmm. which gets to interact with this combo also. So it's
another way to trigger it,
and if I only have two or even one of the combo, it gets to at least pump up some
value
stuff
out of it.
Yeah, get some value out of it. So that's cool. I play, like I said, play three coursers. I play one Bow of Nylea, which allows you to put a 1/1 counter on something, combo, allows you to gain three life, part of the combo, or allows you to do 2 damage to flying, which is not part of the combo, but it's flexible.
You know what the biggest dick hair of putting that in there is? Just the death touch.
And attacking creatures have death touch. Attack with my 1/1 mana ramp guys at late game, and if the guy's not paying attention, your opponent's not paying attention, you get to kill their creature.
Or you just get to keep swinging in for like 3 or 4 every fucking turn.
Can't block him.
Unless you want to trade.
Yep. Even if you do have a blocker in the sky, I can attack with Archangel and hope, you know, you can't really block. Or else that shit just dies, no matter what, like every turn. Or even the little ground guys, you just keep swinging in forever, and, you know, you're going to kill their biggest creature. So those are some of the combo pieces. Now, the main reason I can do this today, and I couldn't do it before, because all these cards were M14, Gatecrash, and Theros, which have been out forever, is Court of Calling. Court of Calling is an instant with Convoke, a new card that came out for...
A reprint
that came out for M15. This is an instant for 3 green and X. Search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost X or less and put it into play. So this allows me to search through my deck and find the missing piece of my combo. And hopefully I'll have the 8 mana or so to get whatever creature I need and just... It'll go to my opponent's turn. I'll have 2 of my combo pieces out on the board or whatever. Or maybe even 1, but I have one in my hand. On their end step, I go ahead and play this instant, Court of Calling. I bring out one of my combo pieces, my Fathom Mage or whatever. And then on my upkeep, I get to play the creature in my hand. Now I have all 3, and my combo reacts right then. When I play that creature out of my hand, it'll right away evolve Fathom Mage because he's a 1/1, and the combo begins, and... my opponent probably didn't see it coming.
Yeah, Court of Calling is like one of the best cards in that deck.
Court of Calling is used in modern formats and now for these same kind of combos. And now that we have it in standard, I'm able to use it for this combo. A couple other key cards is a Johnny Mentor of Heroes. The +1 gets to put 3/1 counters on something, which will, first of all, do the combo. It's 1/1 counters. Also, I get to put it on Fathom Mage, which makes me draw 3 cards. So I get to dig. I get to dig a better way. You can dig using his +1 to draw, look at the top 4 cards, put an aura, creature, or planeswalk in your hand. That's fine. But this way, instead of just digging for 1 card, I get to put them on Fathom and draw 3 cards. And now I get to, like, dig and keep 3 fucking cards, rather than just dig for 1 and put it out there. So that's cool. Besides that, I think that's pretty much the combo right there, all the combo pieces. Then I just have some support cards like Detention Sphere, Banishing Light, the Dissolve for my counter, stuff like that. So, and then I have all the, you know, Mana Confluence and all the appropriate lands to make sure I have all the 3 colors available. So, we've been playtesting Knife's new deck that he's been playing. Which is a discard deck, which we'll get into. We've been playtesting it with that. We've been playtesting it. I went against your Enchantress deck.
Yeah, my.
And it's doing fine. I mean, it's pretty strong. I'll say that. I'm winning more games than losing. So
and that's you didn't have any problem with mana, I noticed.
I really like this deck just for the fact of not only has it had a good combo, but it has good beaters. Like, Archangel of Thune on its own is already a house.
Yeah.
Like, that card is ridiculously good, and it has, like, you know, the Ajani's really good. Just the ability to have effective creatures as opposed to also just having a good combo. It's really nice.
It is good.
I'm glad you guys like it.
I approve.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's the moment you've been waiting for. It's the moment I've been waiting for ever since I saw this card spoiled. I built a Waste Knot deck. A lot of people look down on Waste Knot. you know, oh, the price is going to go down. Oh, it's not going to do anything. Blah, blah, blah. I don't give a shit. I think it's one of the most awesome cards. Definitely a build around me card.
Primeval Bounty for 2 mana.
What? Exactly. So, I built a deck. It's still going through, like, changes, but this is the current iteration I have. I'm running 3 Waste Knots. I should probably run 4.
Yeah, you're not running 4?
Yeah, I was waiting for one in the mail, and it finally got here, and I just never put it in. I'm running 3 Shrieking Afflictions. What's a Shrieking Affliction, yeah, you ask?
Pain in the ass. Oh, my God.
What it is a card? It's an enchantment for black. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if that player has 1 or fewer cards in hand, he or she loses 3 life.
Oh, how weird. You have a discard deck where your opponent never going to have cards. Oh, man.
That's such a fun deck to play against.
Having 2 of those on the board, 6 every upkeep.
Yeah,
ouch.
6 life.
Obviously, I'm running a playset of Thought Seizes. That's apparent. I only have 1 Duress right now, just because I'm trying to make room for other cards. So I'm just trying out new stuff.
Just take the Duress out. Nobody needs it.
And then in the 2-drop slot, I also have... I think I have 1 or 2 Signing Bloods. Mm-hmm. I think I might have taken one of them out. Just because target player draws 2 cards and loses 2 life. So I've mostly been doing it to myself, but I can also do it to, you know,
last 2
you.
Points of damage.
Yeah, last 2 points of damage, or do 2 points of damage and then Mind Rot right after, or Liliana. It's fucking awesome. And I also have 1 Cyclonic Rift, which I try and, like, save it for overload, but, you know, sometimes I just gotta keep tempo. Especially in the early game, because I'm not doing a whole lot on the board.
Yeah, you're a control deck, basically, to get to your win conditions. You know what I mean? You're right. Controlling by discard.
And so... Oh, and if you don't know Waste Knot, let me just go over it real fast. It's 1 and a black for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent discards a creature card, put a 2/2 black zombie token on the battlefield. Whenever they discard a land, add black to your mana pool. And whenever an opponent discards a non-creature, non-land card, draw a card.
I don't like that. It's only 2 mana. I don't like that.
Yes.
Not legendary. I don't like that.
So, turn 1, Thought Seize, get something good out of your hand so I can keep tempo. Turn 2, Waste Knot. Turn 3, Mind Rot, which is target player discards 2 cards. So, hopefully you discard a land and I can play something else, or screw it, I get a zombie and I get to draw a card, or
yeah, you can
whatever
discard,
it is.
I'll discard a land and I'll discard a creature. You get a 2/2 zombie, not tapped, and then you get 2 mana till end of turn, go ahead and play your Sign and Blood, you get to draw 2 cards.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. What a value.
Yeah.
Turn 3, draw 2 cards, and make me discard 2 cards, and get a creature.
Yeah. Or play another Thoughtseize, or another discard, or whatever it is. That's the god draw right there, if everything goes according to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I threw in 1 Siren of the Silent Song, just to see how it works out. So basically, it's a 2/1 flyer for 3. And it has Inspired whenever it untaps, discard a card. But the only problem I see with it is if they discard a land, unless I have an instant and mana, or unless I have like an instant and enough mana open, I can't use it, because when it goes to the next phase,
you lose all that mana.
My mana pool drains.
Once it goes to the main phase, which is when you can cast all your sorcery and creatures and land or whatever.
So it's not like a huge downfall, because I just care about getting cards out of your hand. So I'm just messing around with that. Obviously, I have 4 downfalls for removal.
Hey, you're playing black. What about it?
I'd be surprised if you're playing downfalls and Thoughtseize in a black deck.
I have a couple Read the Bones just to, you know, draw into what I need. And I have 2 Master of Feasts. I think 2 is a good number. Basically, it's a 5/5 flyer for 3. And at the beginning of each upkeep, of my upkeep, each opponent draws a card. So there's a nice little combo with him and Liliana. I'm running 3 Liliana Vests, by the way. So Liliana's +1 is target player discards a card. Her -2 is search library for a card, then shuffle your library and put that card on top. -8 is put all creature cards from all graveyards onto the battlefield under your control, which I think I pulled off 1 game against Hot Sauce.
And I just conceded. But
yeah. I would have pulled it off. So yeah, it's nice. So on my upkeep, you draw a card, and then I make you discard it with Liliana. So unless it's an instant card, then you can't really do anything with it.
Right.
So the card draw is irrelevant.
And then you swing for five.
And then swing for five in the air, which is huge on a, you know, 3-mana creature.
And then Liliana's getting to her -8.
Yeah.
Which will be the win condition on another win condition.
Yeah, another win condition. It is, when that little combo goes off, it's disgusting. I'm also running one Liliana's Reaver. More often than not, I find that it's just nice to have a Death Touch creature on the ground, but there's that added upside of if it can get through and it deals combat damage to a player, that player discards a card, and I put a 2/2 black zombie creature tapped on the battlefield. So that's nice. I don't really know how well it's working out. And then here's the two weirdo cards that really, really fit in this deck. I have Soul Ransom, which I had in my mill deck, and it seems to be working out a lot better in this deck. Enchant creature, you control enchanted creature, and then it says discard two cards. Soul Ransom's controller sacrifices it, then draw two cards. Only an opponent may activate this ability. So I jack your creature. If you want to get your creature back, you have to discard two cards out of your hand, and I get to draw two cards. So that's a huge, huge hit, especially if I have Waste Knot out. Even if it's not Waste Knot, I still get a huge
card advantage. Yeah, you
draw two cards. Yeah, that's...
And hold them back a turn, because, I mean, you steal their creature, they... I don't know, they just... It slows them down, if anything.
It's a 4-card spread advantage, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's huge. And then I just added this one, but it's really fucking good. I was playtesting its hot sauce. Whispering Madness. It's a sorcery for 2 blue-black. Each player discards his or her hand, then draws cards equal to the greatest number of cards a player discarded this way. And it has Cypher. So, you know, let's say...
Master of Feasts.
Yeah, Master of Feasts. If I keep swinging in with it, whatever card you draw is just going to get discarded anyways. But it's just a repeatable way to discard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to get all the cards out of your hand. Sometimes it's not beneficial to me to discard my hand. And sometimes it is. So it's a little bit more situational, but sometimes, fuck it, I want you to discard cards.
When he plays that, and he has Waste Knot out, what happens is I discard my hand, and so does he. Well, when I discard my hand, basically on the stack goes all the Waste Knot stuff. So, he gets to... Whatever, if I discard a creature, he gets to put zombies out. If I discard a non-creature, then he gets to draw cards. So, not only does he get to draw cards from whatever I discarded and bring out creatures, then he gets to draw... He gets to draw this trigger.
Yeah. I get Waste Knot trigger, and then I get Whispering Madness.
So let's just say that he had 2 cards in his hand, I had 2 cards in my hand. He plays this spell, right? Then I discard 2 creatures or whatever. He gets to bring out 2 zombies, and then we both get to draw 2 cards or whatever, right? Or if I discarded 2 non-creature spells, he gets to draw 2 cards and then draw 2 more cards on top of that. And the next time this thing triggers, I freaking have to draw 4 cards and discard 4 cards, and it's just it goes on and on and on. The Waste Knots get so much value out of this card.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. Mm. I gotta say,
it's impressive. Very nice.
That sounds really nice.
I like it. So I felt like I needed more ways. So that's all nice and neat and cool little combo, but how the fuck do I win the game besides, I mentioned Liliana's ultimate? But what else? So I ended up, just because I had it in my binder at the time and I decided to try it out, I put in the M15 black promo, the Indulgent Tormentor. At the beginning of my upkeep, I draw a card unless target opponent sacrifices a creature or pays 3 life. That's just nice unless I'm playing... a burn deck or something. So I'd probably side him out. But hopefully, you don't have any cards in hand anyways. But that's just more time for me to draw cards and kind of just ping you down, especially if...
Oh, yeah. Drawing cards is huge.
Especially if I have, 2 Shrieking Afflictions out. It's you don't want to take 3 more damage. You're fuck it, I'll sack a creature or you can draw another card. And this, so Whispering Madness and Dinrova Horror
were, oh, in, the horror.
Were in my intro mill deck, and I just like immediately toss these cards away, and now like they're huge players in this deck, so it's kind of cool to be able to play with them again. Dinrova Horror is 4BB. When it enters the battlefield, return target permanent to its owner's hand, then that player discards a card. This is a magical card. This is my only way to deal with like enchantments or artifacts, or it's not my only way to deal with planeswalkers, but it's a good way to deal with planeswalkers. Mm-hmm. Because by turn 6, hopefully you have no fucking cards in hand if I'm doing everything correctly. So let's say you were able to land like Hot Sauce was able to land an Ajani, and you know he's ticking it up, and he played all his cards. And then, like, oh, right before you ultimate, I'm going to bounce it back to your hand, and you have to discard it. And I have one last one of in the deck, just as a failsafe. It is Hythonia the Cruel, 4BB, Death Touch, and Monstrosity, 6BB. When it becomes monstrous, destroy all non-Gorgon creatures.
So destroy everything, because the hell plays Gorgons.
Yeah, destroy Gorgon. Everything. Just, like I said, a one of is a failsafe. And even if I don't monstrosity it, it's just still a nice fucking wall of a blocker and
so
attacker.
One game, I was trying to get my combo assembled, and I was just one piece of the pie away.
Yeah, I kept destroying whatever he needed as it came out.
And then he brought up that guy, and I go, oh, crap, that's a board wipe. Board wipe is my enemy, you know?
Yes.
So, Supreme Verdict. So I spent all this time assembling a combo, scaring the pants off a knife, and then he brings up this guy, destroys all creatures, the end.
Yeah, he was getting through for like 3 or 4 every turn, and then I was able to get that out, and the next turn, monstrosity it, and yeah, it's definitely saved the game for me.
It was good. You know, you're not playing a color that will allow you to do a board wipe necessarily. It's not for a reasonable price, so.
Well, yeah, so.
I must say, I do like both of those Ds. Both of those decks are very nice.
I've been staring at our deep.
Very thoughtful, like a lot of thought and a lot of good stuff.
I definitely like. I like playing. I like when our decks go against one another.
Yeah.
I said dicks, right? I thought on accident I said dicks, and I was like, that's not the joke. That's saying what the joke is.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's not even funny now.
Yeah, it's just gross now.
Oh, man.
We're going to play with our dicks and decks later.
Yeah. Sure. But I think that's all we have for this week. We really want to go draft some M15. We only did the pre-release. Actually, Sauce hasn't even done a pre-release, so this will be the first or second.
This is our second draft M15. Okay. I was in it, the other one. Well, I didn't get to finish off. I was actually, like, unstoppable, and then I had to leave to
pick up killing
baby girls from a bachelorette party.
Sweet. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. We will be back next week or the week after with a How Not to Be a Dick and a Noob's Knowledge. But for now, we're just going to glide out on some sweet, sweet Destiny's Child.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what Destiny's Child
is. Don't go chase.
Dude, that's TLC.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's
good enough for me.
That's
close enough.
Good enough for
say
me.
Say my name.
Really? How about Salt and Pepper's here? Salt and Pepper.
Oh, yeah. I actually want to put that. That's the song.
That might be better.
That's a good one.
I don't even want to sign out. I just want to fade in you doing it into the song. That's what's going to happen.
Bam, 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 bam.
I just want you to know that I'm the one that taught you how to say fuck. Sex people.